Here's Pastor Brian as he begins a new study on Calvinism and Arminianism.
Welcome to the program today, and all this week we are going to be looking at the challenging subject of Calvinism and Arminianism. We want to analyze the theology of both of these positions in light of what the scriptures say. And there's a lot of people that don't understand the historical setting of where Calvinism and Arminianism has come from. So I thought it would be a good study to do a brief historical overview of the theology of John Calvin and the historical setting from which his theology arose. To speak of Calvinism is actually to speak of the Reformed faith in reference to the Reformation, which was led by Martin Luther in 1517. John Calvin then became the major theological spokesman for that movement as his theology began to take root in Europe. Calvin was born about 1509 and passed away in 1564. And about 1533 is when he was led to the Lord and immediately faced persecution and had to flee to Basel, Switzerland. Later on, he moved to Geneva, Switzerland, where he began to teach the Reformed faith, but was eventually forced to leave there as well. He ended up in Strasbourg for about 3 years, where he was a pastor to the French refugees. During this time, Calvin was an extensive writer. He published the first edition of his major work called The Institutes of Christian Religion in 1536 at the age of 26. The first edition, which came out in 1559, was well-developed and contained 80 chapters. They were originally written in Latin and then translated into French by Calvin himself. He also wrote commentaries on 49 books of the Bible. So his writing ministry as well as his preaching ministry was quite extensive. And for that, I think his life is worth looking into and to see the influence that he has had upon the church. We first need to look at his impact that he had on Europe. There was one work called the Heidelberg Catechism, which was written in about 1563 by the friends of John Calvin, which impacted the Reformed churches of Holland, Germany, and America. It was their basic doctrinal statement, which they taught people by. Also, another work that was written from a Calvinistic perspective was the Belgic Confession, which is a doctrinal statement of the Dutch Reformed churches. So Calvin's influence in theology had quite an impact upon Europe. And the main thing about Calvin's theology is that he stressed the sovereignty of God. And all the other doctrines relating to salvation were influenced and impacted and had their source in God's sovereignty. And he viewed Ephesians 1:11, which reads, "In whom we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose who works all things according to the counsel of his will." So he viewed God as sovereign, bringing about in this world and this universe whatever he desired, and everything in life and on this earth was actually ordained by God. He's the one bringing about his perfect plan about, in a general sense, God's sovereign over everything. But he also looked at individuals and said that God was sovereign over people's lives in the area of salvation. And from Romans 9, verses 15 through 18, it reads this, "For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, even for this same purpose I have raised you up, that I might show my power in you, that my name might be declared in all the earth. Therefore he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills he hardens." And so from this perspective, Calvin also taught that God is sovereign in the affairs of people's lives in relationship to salvation. That God is the one that chooses, God is the one that appoints the salvation, and he is also the one that hardens. He both chooses to salvation as well as chooses to damnation. So for Calvin, his perspective was to start with the sovereignty of God and then work out the doctrine of salvation from that point. And that theology has impacted the church since the 1500s when he wrote, as I mentioned, in the Dutch Reformed Church as well as in the Reformed churches of Holland, Germany, and America. That's not the end of his influence. Calvinistic theology also spread quickly in Europe and surpassed Lutheranism as the major doctrinal position. It eventually spread to Scotland in the form of the Presbyterian Church. And from Scotland, it went on to England to impact the English Puritans. John Knox, who studied under John Calvin in Geneva, was the leader of the Scottish Reformation, which also brought in Calvinistic theology. In England, it could be seen in the Church of England in the 39 Articles, which was written in 1563. And the 39 Articles is basically the doctrinal statement for the Church of England. Colonization brought Calvinism to America from the early Puritans. Also, the standard doctrinal statement for the Presbyterian churches is the Westminster Confession of Faith, which also is Calvinistic in its theology. Also, some of the great teachers in the church have come from the Calvinistic perspective, such teachers as Abraham Kuyper from Europe, James Orr from Scotland, and many from America, such as Charles and A.A. Hodge, William Shedd, J. Gresham Machum, Benjamin Warfield, and Cornelius Van Til. So the church has been impacted or greatly impacted by the spread of Calvinistic theology. And once again, he starts his doctrinal premise with the sovereignty of God. Now, Calvinism can be summarized in the form of 5 points. And it's not that Calvin himself wrote out 5 points and said, this is my doctrine. His doctrine is found in the Institutes of Christian Religion, which is 80 chapters long. But what happened after Calvin's death in approximately 1618 in the Netherlands, there was a controversy that rose up between the students of Jacob Arminius, who was a Dutch university professor, and the Calvinistic position of the Dutch Reformed churches. Actually, the state got involved, and the state general called for a synod or a church council in 1618 to discuss the matters. The focus of the debate was on the area of predestination and reprobation, or the idea that God sovereignly chooses to save some and God sovereignly chooses to damn others to hell. The students of Arminius, where the term Arminian theology comes from, wrote a document detailing Arminius's theology, their professor, in 1610 called the Remonstrance. So this council was called together on November 13, 1618, and lasted until May 9, 1619. And over that time period, they battled out over these theological positions. And at this time is where the 5 points of Calvinism was developed. They developed a system under which we have given an easy title for called TULIP, the letters T-U-L-I-P, each of those letters standing for 1 point of the Calvinistic doctrine. The T stands for total depravity. And what this means is that man is not able to respond to God because he is spiritually dead. He has no good within him. He could offer nothing to God in the form of good works, of earning salvation, of meriting salvation, as well as he does not have the ability to cooperate with God in the sense of he heard the gospel, is able to respond. He is totally corrupt. Total means that it's affected every aspect of his being. And it doesn't mean that every person will indulge in every form of sin possible, but the fact that man has no ability at all to respond to God. The U in TULIP stands for unconditional election. And this is where the major debate centered around. The idea that Calvin taught that man was chosen by God, was predestined by God for salvation, that God unconditionally elected or chose some individuals and unconditionally rejected others. It was God's sovereign choice. They are predestined before the foundation of the world, so it wasn't God looking down the corridor of time and through his foreknowledge knew who would respond to the gospel and who would reject and then made the choice, but God just made a sovereign choice. So once again, that's the heartbeat of Calvinistic theology, that God is sovereign and he chooses. He could choose to have mercy or he could choose to damn. And so it's called unconditional election. The third doctrine from L is limited atonement. The idea that Christ, when he came and died on the cross, he didn't die for the sins of the world, making salvation possible for everybody, but he only died for the elect, those that God had eternally chosen to bring salvation to. So Christ came and died for the sheep. He laid his life down for the elect. So it's limited atonement. The fourth letter, I, is irresistible grace. And it doesn't mean that God forces his grace upon somebody, but that God will work to the extent in a person's life it'll make that individual willing to come to himself. And so in that sense, it's irresistible that God will actually make someone's will willing to respond to the gospel. So it's not as if a man is a puppet, but that God, by his mercy, draws, changes the heart of man, and gets him ready to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that's the I, irresistible grace. And the last letter, P, is perseverance of the saints. And that means the ones that God chooses, he will cause to persevere. It doesn't mean that people are going to live a perfect life or that people may not stumble into sin and recover, but God will continue to work on their lives. The work that he started, he will complete. He'll be faithful to do that. So it's not that man's going to persevere, but God is going to cause that to take place. And so those 5 points came out of what is called the Synod of Dort, the church council there in Dort, in 1618 and 1619. The Dutch Reformed churches formulated these and also reaffirm their commitment to Calvinistic theology, as well as the Belgic and Heidelberg confessions, reaffirming their strong Calvinistic position. And not only did they embrace a Calvinistic position, they also condemned the followers of Arminius as heretics and then brought persecution upon them. So it was quite a battle, and those followers of Arminius were under persecution for several years after this church council. You have to remember that the state was involved as well, so there wasn't a separation between the church and state. So it was an official decree of the state as well as of the church. And so what we have at that point is where the five points of Calvinism originated. My perspective for today is just to help give you an historical perspective of where the five points of Calvinism originated. Tomorrow in a program, we'll look at the history of Arminianism and how their doctrine developed and their major emphasis within their theology. These two basic positions have impacted a great majority of the church today. And I think it is a good study to know the history of where these theologies come from. And then in the rest of the week, we'll be analyzing scripturally, do these line up with what the Word of God teaches?